Arguably, the single most controversial title for Our Lady today is her title as Co-Redemptrix. And yet, my friends, there's something in this title that bespeaks of her greatest dignity, of her greatest human achievement, of her greatest meritorious victory for heaven and for earth. This is Dr. Mark Miravalli. Welcome to Marycast. In our Mariology series that we've been going through on Marycast, we are trying to give you a systematic treatment of the dogmas and doctrines regarding Our Lady. Now, in our other smaller segments and special features, we've on several occasions talked about Our Lady as co-redemptrix. But I want to readdress it here so that it's part of the series of the Mariology sequence for Marycast, and also because we can't speak about it too much. This title of co-redemptrix, in a proper theological understanding, and even in the mystical tradition of the Church, has been rightly identified as Our Lady's most meritorious moment. Even more meritorious than her Immaculate Conception. Even more meritorious than her yes at the Annunciation, although that truly cannot be divided from her yes, which takes place at Calvary. So let's go back to basics. And once again, it is the most controversial due to grave misunderstandings about what the Church teaches on this subject, about the prefix co, and really a misunderstanding of what the value of human sacrifice, the value of offering our sacrifices are in our present era. We're not in an era that stresses things like offering it up and doing our share to make up what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. But heaven doesn't change based on earth's moods, and these are foundational Christian truths which will not be changed and must be given proper honor. When we speak of Our Lady as the co-redemptrix, when once again John Paul II uses that term as he has used in the past on six occasions, when Padre Pio calls her the co-redemptrix, St. Edith Stein, St. Catherine of Siena, St. Jose Maria Escriva, and a host of other saints, fathers, mystics, what precisely do they mean? Well, we're going to start with what they don't mean. They do not mean that Mary is equal to Jesus. They do not mean that Mary is a fourth person of the Trinity. They do not mean that Mary is divine. They mean, and we mean, that Mary, as a perfect human creature, uniquely, like no one else, participated with Jesus and at the service of Jesus in the work of human redemption. So once again, if you want a bumper sticker of what co-redemptrix means, it means with Jesus in the work of redemption. And let's go after that prefix, co. The prefix co in Latin means cum. Cum means with. Even though there are secondary usages of the term that also will connote equality by using it, like co-captains of a team, perhaps. Even in English, you have things like a star and a co-star, a pilot and a co-pilot, where the second has an obvious context of being inferior in a certain sense and clearly subordinate. But in Latin and in Church language, what is clear is that co means with when we use it in the title of co-redemptrix. Mary was with Jesus in the work of redemption. I have in the past made reference of Mother Teresa's beautiful and simple and enthusiastic defense of the title co-redemptrix. Mother said, when I asked her this question on August 14th, the feast of St. Maximin in Kolbe, 1993, in her home in Calcutta, right outside the chapel, where they have a beautiful crucifix and Our Lady. It's really a co-redemptive crucifix right there, right outside of Mother's chapel. She says, of course Mary is the co-redemptrix. She gave Jesus his body, and his body is what saves us. Now let's take apart just briefly Mother Teresa's simplicity. Jesus receives the instrument of the redemption from Mary. That is his body. That again is Hebrews 10:10. We are all sanctified by the offering of the body Jesus Christ once for all. Now remember, let's always keep a personal respect, and let's always grant God a personalist respect. God does not use human beings against their wills. In fact, God's greatest respect is for our human freedom, which he gives us. And even at times when that freedom launches a soul sadly into hell, God still respects that freedom. Mary was free. Mary was free when she said yes to the angel. Mary was free when she gave Jesus his body, which is the instrument of redemption. So she's the co-redemptrix like no other creature. No one else, St. Joseph, the Archangel Gabriel, St. John, the Magdalene, any of the apostles, the first Pope, Peter, no one is co-redemptrix like Mary is co-redemptrix. Because no one, as the great Jesuit Suarez says back in the 17th century, no one had an intrinsic relation to the hypostatic union. What does that mean? That means no one was interiorly involved with God becoming man, with the Word becoming flesh, and no one was interiorly involved with the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary. Again, I refer to John Paul II, who tells us that Mary was, quote, spiritually crucified with her crucified Son at Calvary. And in her role, he again uses the title of co-redemptrix. So Mary is co-redemptrix first and foremost because she gives Jesus his body, which is the instrument of redemption. And then we have the prophecy of Luke 2:35. Indeed, when Simeon says to Mary, a sword will pierce through your own heart too. This is Mary's call of suffering with Jesus in the work, the historic work of redemption. Now at Calvary, everything takes its climax. And at Calvary, Mary sees her son, her divine and human son, brutally, horrifically mangled and crucified. My friends, you know, there's no bloodless crucifixes at Calvary. It's packed with blood because it's a bloody, horrific process. Mary sees her son undergo that for you and for me. You know, we're paid for at great price. If you want to look at the price tag, look at the crucifix. That's the price tag. Mary shared in that suffering of Jesus. The Second Vatican Council tells us that Mary indeed had a union of hearts with Jesus so that she shared the suffering that Jesus shared while redeeming the world. So this is the fulfillment of her role as co-redemptrix. What she does at Calvary, she offers the divine victim, the Second Vatican Council tells us, Lumen Gentium 58. Indeed, offering the divine victim means that Mary says, I consent to the destruction of my son because it's the Father's will and because the rest of my children will need that to be freed from their sin. So this is the greatest human act there is, the act of redemption. It's performed by the divine and human Jesus, and it's performed and cooperated with, like no other creature, by Mary. I would say, my friends, and avoiding any sense of simplicity or even a patronizing mention, this is not a difficult truth to understand. That God wanted a human creature and that God wanted a woman to join him in the work of redemption, since a woman was part of the loss of the work of grace in the role of Eve. This is divine logic. This makes sense. And that an immaculate human being would join Jesus in the great act of redemption, it's a compliment to you and to me. It's a compliment to every human that one of us could be set aside to participate in the saving of all of us. And that one of us is Mary, and she's only there because of Jesus. So Our Lady's role as co-redemptrix is beautifully Christological, it's Christ-centered, it is entirely at the heart of the Church, and it is the official teach to the Church, and it should be the conviction of your heart and my heart. Thanks for being with us on MaryCast. More on Our Lady's role as co-redemptrix as we continue. God bless you.